Hello, and welcome to the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us. This is where you'll hear what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here in town. This week, we're talking with Carolyn Wickwire and Richard Peck about the upcoming 2nd Annual Albuquerque Theatre Guild Playfest. But before we do that, let's take a look at the calendar. Murder on the High Seas continues at Foul Play Dinner Cafe through the 28th at the Sheraton Albuquerque Uptown. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is at Musical Theater Southwest through the 29th. Shakespeare 505's version of Measure for Measure will be at the Ox Dog through the 29th. Black Coffee at the Adobe plays through May 6th. And the Ability Project is at the VSA North 4th Art Center until April 28th. Steel Magnolias is at Albuquerque Little Theater and continues through May 6th. The UNM Department of Theater and Dance continues its run of The House of Bernardo Alba through April 29th. Glitter Girls plays at the East Mountain Center for Theater through the 29th. The Rio Grande Players will be at Coronado Villa on April 28th. Rumble Productions, Don't Pretend You're Normal, plays April 27th and 28th. And Minx and Savage starts at the Vortex April 27th and will continue until May 13th. Abre Paso Flamenco presents Dibujos at the Jewish Community Center April 28th. And now, join me in welcoming our special guests, Carolyn Wickwire and Richard Peck.
Welcome to our podcast for the Albuquerque Theatre Guild today. We're delighted to have you with us.
Delighted to be here, Mike.
What do we have coming up that is the specialty for this week?
The 2nd Annual Playwright Circle Stage Reading Festival. The Playwright Circle is a circle of the Albuquerque Theatre Guild, and this is an ATG event. We did this last year on a slightly different format. This year we'll be presenting 3 full-length plays, staged readings of those plays, by Albuquerque playwrights who are also members of the Albuquerque Theatre Guild. We have professional directors, professional actors. The plays were all judged blindly without the playwrights' names attached by a panel of 3 excellent judges. And it will be at the Adobe Theater, May 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Okay, wonderful. So let's back up a little bit. Richard is one of the winning playwrights.
I'm May 11th.
Right. You're May 11th. Okay, and the name of your play has something to do with allergies.
It's called Allergy Tests.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about allergy tests first, and tell us a little about what that play is.
Shortest capsule I can give you, it's about a writer who has a writer's block. He can no longer write. His ex-wife says that's not all he can't do. And he's got a couple of afflictions. And so his wife, a very thoughtful, interesting woman, and his agent, now his ex-wife, hires a young editorial assistant to help him to solve at least one of those problems. Maybe both. We'll see how that works out. And also in the play is the family doctor who has been treating him, giving him tests, suggesting other means of solving one of his problems. So we have the 2 problems attacked by 2 young women, and under the guidance of his ex-wife and agent, and it's fun. I think that's what I would like to say. Most of all, it's fun, but it's about something interesting, about somebody whose work is hampered because he's trying to change in midstream, change what he does, and it impacts his work, so he can't do it at all.
Okay, so is it an age-related, dementia-related issue, perhaps?
I don't think so. No AIDS, and no dementia. The man's 50-ish, So it happens in mid-career to lots of people, younger than that and older than that. And it's a friend of mine, Dean Kuntz, a novelist, says there's no such thing as a writer's block. Well, there may not have been in his life, but other writers have come up to that place where you don't know what's next. Something has gone wrong. And Dean's advice is, all you have to do is write noun, verb, noun. You just put down the page. You write down, John ate a Buick. Anything, anything. Because writing doesn't matter, revising matters. So you get something on the blank page, and you know it's no good, so you're going to have to fix it. That's the way to get past a block. And people who wait for inspiration will never get it done. Professional writers shouldn't face a block. Well, that's what is behind the play. We'll see if it's true in the play.
Right. So would you build the play as a comedy?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So
it's funny for everybody except the man afflicted.
Okay. Now, here's the next natural question. Is it an autobiography?
No. I will say pretty clearly not, because I finished writing the play.
There you go. All right. Fair enough. Well, Richard, tell us a little bit about your background. Why are you in this position today? What have you done to make yourself a writer and move this direction?
I started very young. I was an English teacher, and I started writing. I think my first publication, I was 5 years old, and I'll give you the details about it. In Milwaukee, there's a big department store, Schuster's, and every Christmas they invite kids to send in their Christmas letter to Santa, and then they present some of those over the air. They picked my play. They read my letter to Santa. That's many years ago. I'm still waiting for the check, by the way. I never got paid for that. But I think that is publication. You stick your neck out, you write something down, and put it out in public. And my letter to Santa was fairly straightforward. I simply told him that there were so many things on the list, I couldn't write them all down. So when he came to town, I wanted him to give me a call, and I just tell him what it was over the phone.
And
he never called either, by the way.
Ah, so you're still waiting for Santa and the check.
That's true.
Okay. So from there, you began writing what?
Well, I started writing science fiction. I now have, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
I now have 29 books, 19 plays. The plays have appeared in over 60 theaters in 9 states. I just got back from 3 months on Kauai, directing a play of mine called Lovers, Wives, and Tennis Players, and it will be playing in Roswell and next winter. And then I heard about this playwrights competition, we'll call it, so I submitted a long play and a short play. The short play was rejected, the long play was accepted, and I'm just delighted with the director and the cast who are in it, and I get to sit back now and watch it happen. And my participation now is to find out what I didn't do as well as I might have. What's wrong? What can I fix? And so this presentation will give me the opportunity to make revisions. I also hope it'll give directors around Albuquerque the opportunity to see the play, and maybe one of them might choose to direct it in his own theater.
Very nice. Do you write mostly comedy?
Yes, I have. Of the plays, one's a thriller, one's a musical, both pretty bad, and all the others are comedies.
So the musical and the thriller being bad are perhaps comedies of their own right?
Well, maybe they are, but they...
Not by intention.
No, the musical I wrote with a composer, Al Blotter, who's in Philadelphia, and we had 2 productions, but nobody jumped up to pay for a full production of it. And then the thriller was fun. It's a crime story. And we end up killing everybody in the cast and burning down the set at the end. So it has theatricality in it, we'll say.
One performance only.
Well, no, we managed to rebuild and reburn the set.
Okay. All right. Well, Carolyn, talk a little bit for us about, or tell us about the other playwrights in the festival.
I will. The playwright who will be presenting his play on Saturday night, Mark Flaherty, and his play is called The Golden Egg. He is from the UK, from Britain, transplanted to this country and then to Albuquerque about 3 years ago or so. Became a very, very active member of the playwright circle, and also had one of his plays read at the first annual staged reading festival. Very talented young man. The third playwright is Joseph Sorrentino. Joseph's play is called Snack Shack, also a comedy. It will be on the Sunday matinee, May 13th. Joseph is well known in the Albuquerque area. He has had several of his plays produced here, including the Gavanza Philadelphia at the Adobe just last season. So we're delighted to have him being a participant this year.
In addition to the playwrights, you have professional directors and professional actors.
We do. The first play, Richards, is being directed by a newcomer to Albuquerque, Angela Wilson. She happened to be a close friend of mine in Dallas before we both relocated here, ran her own theater. She's a director, an actor, a playwright, a screenwriter, one of those wonderfully multi-talented individuals. And this will be her first directing showcase in Albuquerque. Jessica Osborne, who's very well known here in the theater community, is directing Mark Flaherty's play. And a newcomer to me, anyway, Maury Evans, and I think he hasn't been in Albuquerque for more than about a year, will be directing Joseph Sorrentino's Snack Shack. The directors are responsible for casting their plays, and they're in that process right now. I should say, too, Richard was talking about getting feedback and learning from this experience. There will be a talk back with the audience after each performance with the director, the playwright, and the actors, with a chance for the audience to give their reactions, their feedback, their questions.
Oh, very nice, very nice. So the process for getting into the... How many people submitted plays?
We had 20 plays submitted.
20 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And so 3 out of 20. Who were the judges?
The chief judge, Jim Cady.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two judges were Joe Feldman and Pete Parkin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Top-notch.
Both. We try to go to get the very top people for this.
Right. Okay. They have a great deal of experience in directing themselves and picking out the plays. Maybe one of them will pick it up for you, Richard.
One of them is in my play, and that's Jim Cady has turned actor, and he'll be doing the lead in my play. It's very interesting. We got from each of the three judges a written comment on what they saw in the play, for good or ill. I was very impressed with their comments. They were right to the point, very, very helpful, even when I didn't agree with them, even when they weren't complimentary. But that's the fact. That's really what you want in a critic of your work. Compliments you get from your family. You need somebody who knows theater to tell you what can make it better, and I appreciate that.
Well, good. So Angela's directing, and Jim is in it. Who else is in your play?
Well, that's not settled yet. We're still in the process of casting. Angela has been beating the bushes. She's invited all kinds of people from her film company, from the theater company she's been involved in. She's invited a series of professionals to come read for her, and I don't know. I have the great opportunity this time to sit back and smile and accept the flattery and watch somebody else do the work, and that's very satisfying.
Very good, very good. So they're going into rehearsal now, or they're still in the casting process?
I think perhaps Mark Flaherty's play has already been cast, and I have not gotten the list of cast members yet. And I think both Richards and Joseph Sorrentino's are still in the process of casting.
Well, I know Jessica, and I know Angela, and I've been... working with a playwrights group, screenwriters group.
Mm. Are you in that group with Angela?
Yes, and I've had the opportunity to watch her and quite impressed. So you've got a good director. And then, of course, I've known Jessica for a long time, and Jessica is well known for putting out some good plays. The other director is
Maury Evans.
Maury is a new name for me. There was a time in Albuquerque when I knew everybody, but that time has gone by the wayside. So many new people have come and old people have gone, and so it's not completely recognizable anymore.
Benefit, we're very much looking forward to seeing Maury's work.
Well, the benefit that I see, and I'll let you talk about it a little bit, in Albuquerque is the level of professionalism that we have in a community this size.
Oh, it's been amazing. I moved to Albuquerque 3 years ago, and I have just been blown away by the professionalism and the quality of the whole theater community here.
And one of the reasons may be because of all the active film work going on now. Mm-hmm. I know two actors who came here from New York to take a role in a film, finished their job, and stayed. And they are here, and to keep their craft alive, they're working in community theater, in unpaid theater. And that's wonderful to see. I just directed recently Turn of the Screw at Oxdog, and one of the cast members, Brennan Foster, just came off Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the other cast member moved here from Iowa, but she had been in over 50 productions before she came here. Abby Van Gerpen, a very talented young lady who's now doing Shakespeare for us. So she's remarkable, and that made my job a whole lot easier. And it also made the play richer. It's nice to have professional people to work with.
The quality on stage all over town has gone up significantly since the film has been active, mm-hmm. since the early part of the century. That's going to sound funny when somebody listens to this one day.
Stop it. It makes you stop and think for a second.
I remember in school during the last century saying things like that, and it was like, that seemed awful strange. But it's good to know that. Is this your home, Richard?
No, I moved here in 1990, so I've been here, whatever, do the math, whatever that is. I was president of UNM for 10 years.
Yes.
And then I heard the auditors were coming, so I retired and got out. And I've been attending theater and participating, and I met my wife in a production of Oklahoma years ago. It's been our family's avocation. My two kids were involved in theater. My daughter's a singer and worked in dinner theater. My son's a techie. He was up in the booth running lights and sound. So it's been our family, more than hobby, it's our avocation. And now that I get to do it more nearly full time, it's been great fun.
And were the kids involved in theater growing up?
Yes, indeed. Our son was had his first kiss on stage. It was embarrassing to him. He was in something called The Happy Time. And a classmate of his was also in the show. He said it would have been better if it had been a stranger. He wouldn't have minded kissing her, but it was really tough to kiss somebody who was in your class, he said. He was 12 at the time, and he's got over that.
Well, I have a family full of theatrical and entertainment people, and we did a lot of theater here in town when the kids were growing up, and they would come home every once in a while, and, "Where's my bed?" It's on set. So that's how we do it in the community. But there have been a number of advancements in theater here in town over the years, and I've been, you know, happy to watch them. It's one of the reasons it's a pleasure for me to meet folks like you and listen to you tell your story about the writing process. Now, writing is completely different, or maybe not, than administration, I would think.
It is, but it's just storytelling, and I got to practice that in front of the legislature very often. Everybody has a story to tell, and when you find one that's interesting, you share it with the public, put it on stage.
Very nice. You said you're directing also? Are you directing the 505 Shakespeare project?
No, but I have four plays that will be done on one weekend at the Adobe, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of June. They have one of their dark weekends. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to bring something in. I have 3 10-minute plays and a half-hour one-act, so there'll be 4 plays. I wanted to call it a bushel of plays because 4 pecks are in a bushel. Okay.
Oh.
But they didn't get it either, so they renamed it and they call it Richard's Shorts. So Richard Shorts.
Okay.
Richard Shorts will be in late June at the Adobe.
Well, he's probably got a broader reach than 4 pecks in a bushel. I had to stretch back to remember that one myself. I
was still doing the math when he came up with the answer.
It was actually my mother's line. There were 4 siblings. My mother always said she had a bushel of kids.
Bushel of kids. Well, there you have it. So, what would be the follow-on to this, do you think?
Well, let Carol do it. We have a plan.
Ah.
And we hope that one of these 3 plays receives a full production, a mounted production here at one of our theaters. It's a way of exposing local playwrights and having their work seen by directors. I don't know, what 30-some directors have been invited to attend?
That's right. We've sent out emails to about 35 directors offering them passes for the full festival, as well as the local theaters, artistic directors from the local theaters who are members of the Albuquerque Theater Guild. And, of course, that's one of our main goals, is not only to get these new works in front of the public right now and to a broader Albuquerque audience, but to hope that someone will pick them up and want to give them full productions.
Okay. How did you select the directors that you want to try to get these into the hands of? 30 directors is a lot of directors.
Well, we went through the membership directory of the Albuquerque Theater Guild.
Mm-hmm.
We sent them to all of those directors, and then there were a number of other directors that either we knew of personally, I went to the different theaters' websites and sort of scanned the list of directors that had directed for those theaters the last year or so, picked up names from there.
And the directors got to choose the script they wanted to direct.
The festival directors.
Yes. That was very interesting because I did not know Angela until she decided to direct this play. I've gotten to know her since, and I'm very pleased to see that. She's going to bring to my script a woman's point of view, and given the smattering of chauvinism in my play, it's probably a good idea to have it corrected.
Very good.
All right. Right. Well, let's again, the dates are
May 11th, 12th, and 13th. Mm-hmm. 11th and 12th will be at 7:30 in the evening, and Sunday the 13th will be 2 p.m. Tickets are available online through Brown Paper Tickets, not through Adobe.
Okay. Now, is this is an Albuquerque Theater Guild project as opposed to an Adobe project?
That's very true. They're hosting it for us. They hosted the first festival last year. The Albuquerque Theater Guild is not actually producing it, but it's an Albuquerque Theater Guild event. And the Playwright Circle that organized this is part of Albuquerque Theater Guild.
Right.
So they've been very, very supportive.
And the Playwright Circle is producing it?
If there's a producer, we have, as part of the Playwright Circle, we have a festival committee, and that committee hammers out everything. So, yes, I don't know whether you could actually say I suppose we're producing it in a sense, but
nobody gets
the Albuquerque Theater Guild does not produce any works,
yeah.
But we are a division of
of the Guild.
Well, great, great, great. Well, Carolyn and Richard, thank you for being with us today. It's enlightening, and we will get this on the Internet, and people in Brazil will hear about it.
Wonderful. Maybe some of them will come to the festival.
I was surprised to find out we had listeners in Brazil. I don't know who it is or why, but they are.
Great.
And so thank you for being with us today. We look forward to seeing the festival.
Thank you, Mike.
That does it for this week's show. Join us again in weeks to come when we will talk with other interesting people in Albuquerque's theater world who will share insider information about performances in Albuquerque. The Albuquerque Theater Guild's podcast is the place where you can keep up to date on what's playing and hear special features like performance interviews and learn a bit of insider knowledge. If you're enjoying our programs, please like us, comment, and share with your friends on other social media platforms. Until we're together again, go see some live performance art, and we'll look for you right back here next time. Thank you.